So we're thinking about Mark chapter 7 and verse 24 to 30. And as this passage has been read to us, I'm sure that there is a familiarity with it upon the part of many of you. But just by way of introduction, I want to say something about the way in which the Lord was so conscientious about the way in which he laboured in his ministry. I admire the dedication of the Lord Jesus Christ as he always appears to be about his Father's business. Indeed, the Lord himself tells us that the Son of Man came or is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And this is what the Lord spent those 3 years of his ministry doing, accomplishing, and achieving. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I have no doubt, no reason to doubt, that this is exactly what he was doing when he travelled from Gennesaret or close by Capernaum here on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, all of the way to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. He was looking for one of his lost sheep. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so that was what he was doing on this occasion also. Just as when he crossed the Sea of Galilee to the country of the Gadarenes in order to find that man that was possessed of a legion of demons. Or just as he must needs go through Samaria in order to meet with the woman at the well. Our Lord was on a mission. And today's encounter with this dear lady, this Syrophoenician lady, that simply talks about the fact that she came from Tyre and Sidon, which was a border area between a part of the land that we would now call Palestine and Syria, and or also it was the land that had been possessed by the Philistines in a time gone past. It was a Gentile area, and the people who lived in that area were Gentiles. And so she is specified as being a Syrophoenician. And her daughter had been attacked by the devil. And this encounter with this lady is another example of the Lord's purpose and indeed of the success of the Lord in achieving that purpose that he came to fulfill. So the first thing that I want to draw your attention to today is that the lady with whom the Lord had this conversation, this Syrophoenician woman, was a lady to whom faith had been given. That might seem a strange way to begin our consideration of this lady, but I think it's the best way for us to understand this passage. Faith was given to this lady before she met with the Lord. Now, we've already mentioned the initiative of the Lord in travelling to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, travelling all this way from the Sea of Galilee. It was a distance of about 35 miles. So it would be between 10 and 12 solid hours of walking, assuming that we walk at about somewhere between 3 and 4 miles per hour. So that was quite an investment that the Lord Jesus Christ had made in this trip. Some people say that it was in order to get away from these scribes and Pharisees that had come from Jerusalem to watch the Lord and to interrogate the Lord, and with whom he had been speaking just a short time earlier in the earlier part of this chapter. But to be honest, that doesn't really cut with me as far as an explanation is concerned. This is the God-man that we are speaking about. And there is nothing unintentional and there is nothing unplanned with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I continue to think that the Lord's purpose in going to Tyre and Sidon wasn't to escape from some intrusion by the Pharisees, but it was to meet an appointment that he had with this certain woman and to deliver this young child from the oppression of the devil. Yet as we think about that, it is also good for us to remember that the work of salvation is the work of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it were, unite together in the covenant of peace and the covenant of grace and the covenant of salvation and purpose in order to choose, we call that election, to redeem, that was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and to effectually call or convert the sinner to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the Father's choice, the Son's redemptive work, the atonement, and the Holy Spirit's regeneration work all come together in the life of every individual whom God will bring to newness of life. And that's a work of the triune God. So that if a sinner is brought to faith in Christ, clearly the Holy Spirit has also been at work in that lady's life. Here was a chosen vessel, one of the elect of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that she has faith. And here is one to whom faith had been given, chosen of God, given faith, now encounters the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ had been coming to meet this lady and preparing through these 10 or 12 hours of walking to meet this lady, and the lady had been prepared by the Holy Spirit to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what means, like what person had spoken to her about the Lord Jesus Christ, all that distance away amongst the Gentiles in the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, probably in one of the cities, actually the city of Tyre or Sidon, because she came out in order to meet the Lord as he went into the vicinity of these two cities. He didn't actually go into the cities, it would appear. He went into the vicinity of these cities and she came out to meet him. I don't know who she had spoken to. I don't know by whom the spiritual wisdom that she had been given, short of it being an immediate work of the Holy Spirit, that there hadn't been anybody between to inform her or to tell her. Maybe she had travelled and heard. I don't know. We're not told. How did she come to hear about Christ? By whom was this spiritual wisdom conveyed to her? But by the Holy Spirit. But she had faith. She came in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. She applied for help by faith. And by faith, she persisted despite being ignored and deflected several times by the Lord himself. This lady, this dear lady, this Syrophoenician woman, she knew who to come to for help. She knew where to find him. despite the fact that he endeavoured to keep his presence there secret, quiet. And she knew what to say to him. Now we get a more fulsome account of a conversation that took place in Matthew's Gospel. But here we find in Mark's Gospel, this account nevertheless shows us that the woman knew what to say to the Lord. She knew who to go to, she knew where to find him, and she knew what to say. And everyone who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ for help must know the same. Note this. We do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for faith. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Faith is spiritual life from God that is informed by gospel preaching. Gospel preaching is the means that God uses to bring elect sinners, chosen sinners, to Christ. That quickening work of the Holy Spirit opens up a desire for hearing the gospel, an ability to hear the gospel, the wherewithal and opportunity to hear the gospel. And when that gospel is preached and declared, it finds a responsiveness in that quickened soul, that born again soul. So that we see here that is a lady whom the Holy Spirit had already been dealing with. If we would be saved, we must come to Christ by faith. Neither is there salvation in any other. And if the Lord grants us grace, we shall come to the gospel. Because in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ is to be found. And we will plead for that mercy which we need. You see, the Holy Spirit will convict us and convince us of sin. He will show us our need of a Saviour. So that we will know who we need to find. We will know where he is found in the gospel. And we will ask him for that which he alone can give. And thus we see the Holy Spirit's effectual call and the gift of faith preceded this woman's approach to Christ. She was prompted to seek Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ had come a long way seeking her. And despite the initial appearances of this engagement, this conversation that they had together, this encounter was always going to end well. She came and she fell at his feet and worshipped him. Matthew tells us that. She called upon Jesus as Christ. She called upon him as the Messiah, the Son of David. So wherever this woman had been informed, wherever she had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he could do and what power was vested in him and indeed his true identity, this Gentile woman from this Gentile part of the land was better informed than so many people even around Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Wherever and whatever she had heard very well. And I assure you, upon the authority of the Word of God, all who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, like this woman did, by faith, will be received and will be blessed with all spiritual blessings. So the first point that I want to make today for you is that faith was provided for this Syrophoenician woman. And the second point is this, that having received that faith from God the Holy Spirit as part of his work in her life, she exercised that faith. She believed And then she acted upon what she had heard and what she believed. She came to Christ. She worshipped Christ. She appealed to Christ for the help that she required. She had a great need, this woman. And she had one single opportunity to have that need met. And she would not let it pass easily. I started off by saying that I admired the Lord Jesus Christ's work as he went about his Father's business. Well, there's a lot of admiration in this sermon today, because I admire this lady's determination too. It's quite extraordinary. Here she is. She's a Greek. She's a Gentile. She's a non-Jew. And yet she stands as a beacon of hope for every sinner who trembles at the prospect of going to the Lord Jesus Christ for help, who fears the possibility of rejection, and yet who feels the burden and the weight of their need, of their sin, of their guilt, of their desire to be with Christ in heaven, of eternal life and salvation in him. Everything was against this woman. And I mean everything. Her location was against her. The obligations and responsibilities that she had were against her. She had a little girl that was in agony at home, and yet she left her to go and seek out Christ and go and find Christ. Her nationality was against her. She was a Gentile. The disciples' attitude was against her. It was dismissive. Her feelings of unworthiness, her fear of embarrassment or of disappointment, perhaps might have militated against her going and seeking out the Lord. And yet it seems that all of those obstacles merely sharpened her desire and her determination. What a beautiful picture that she is for any sinner feeling a burden of the need of salvation in their soul. Her need drove her on. And what a need it was. The pain and distress of her daughter, the daughter that she loved, hurt her far more than any embarrassment or rejection could. Here was a mother who felt her daughter's torment as this young girl wrestled with her demons. We're told that she was grievously vexed. And as that daughter cried for her mother's help, so the mother cried out just as earnestly to the Lord Jesus Christ. She cried, and listen to this. This is an important point, and I think that it's just lovely to pause and enter into the sentiments of this for a moment. She cried, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." She didn't cry, "Lord, help my daughter." Her daughter's need was her own need. She so identified with her daughter's need that it became her own. And she cried to the Lord, "Lord, help me." She didn't ask for the Lord Jesus Christ to come with her. She didn't ask for his attendance at her bedside. She didn't even bring the little girl to the Lord, as many did. All she needed was a word. All she needed was a will on the part of the great physician. A motion on this one, Jesus, to give her some hope that all would be well in the life of this little girl. We speak of men and women as passive in salvation. And it is true that with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross and what he accomplished by his blood, we are passive. We cannot add anything to that finished work. It lacks nothing that we can supply. It is full, it is finished, and it is free for all for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. But the benefits of that great salvation is received by faith, or are received by faith, and are experienced through hearing the gospel preached and believing and trusting and acting out upon that faith in our going to Christ. Faith is God's gift to his people by which he will be known. And all who come to the Lord Jesus Christ do it by that faith which has been given. But we come because that's God's appointed way of salvation. The writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe. So there is a necessity of faith. That work of the Holy Spirit must first be implanted before we can truly go to Christ in faith and receive the benefits and blessings of salvation. And in John 14 verse 6, the Saviour says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, having gifted faith to this lady sought out Christ. She went to where he was. She went to hear him speak. She went to see what he would do for her. She acted upon the faith that had been given to her. The woman believed. She came believing. She came seeking help. But what happened next was unexpected and surprising, because we discover that the Lord gives her no answer. So faith was given to this lady, point one. Faith was exercised by that lady in her coming to Christ. And the third point is this, that here the Lord tries this woman's faith. Now, as I've said, Mark's account is a little bit more brief than Matthew's. Mark says in verse 27, Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. Matthew enlarges on that a little bit. And he tells us, first of all, that for the first part of this woman's presence in the company of the Lord, that he answered her not a word. She spoke to him and he didn't even acknowledge her. She spoke to him and he did not answer her. And so she keeps on calling. She keeps on persisting. Her determination is not suppressed or daunted. And so her disciples come to the Lord and they say to the Lord, Lord, will you deal with this woman? Will you give this woman what she's asking for so that we can be rid of her? And there's almost a sense there of that the disciples were becoming exasperated by this woman's persistence. And so they say to the Lord, Lord, will you just be rid of this woman? They came advocating that she be given what she sought for. And then the Lord says something. It's in the 24th verse of Matthew chapter 15. He answers and said, but he didn't answer and speak to the woman. He answered and spoke to the disciples. And this is what he says. I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, notwithstanding the passage that we're looking at in Mark chapter 7, I do feel that there is a key to understanding this incident in that little phrase of the Lord that we read in Matthew chapter 15:24. He answered and said to his disciples, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, we have been observing over the past number of weeks, and I confess it's been months now, that we have seen how the Lord used all his parables and his miracles and the experiences through which the disciples were brought in order to teach them their apostolic responsibilities. These 3 years of the Lord's ministry were an apprenticeship for apostles. And the Lord was teaching them in every situation, in every set of circumstances, something about their role as ministers of the gospel and apostles in the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. Not least here on this occasion. He was teaching them their worldwide mission. And I think that's the point of what is happening here. The Lord was showing his disciples that when it came to the preaching of the gospel, this message was not restricted simply to the Hebrews, simply to the Jews. The Lord was teaching them that it would also be taken to the Gentiles. So that when he gave them the commission prior to his ascension, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," it didn't come as a surprise that the Lord's view, the Lord's horizons were much beyond the boundaries of Jerusalem and Judea. That while the gospel might start there, it was to the end that it would go from there. It would go forth into all the world. And the disciples had to have that broadness of view, that breadth of horizon. And that's what the Lord succeeded in teaching them here at this moment. He was teaching them their worldwide mission, that the whole world was represented in this one Syrophoenician woman and her little girl. Now, do you see what the Lord did? Do you see what the Lord did here? He says to his disciples, "I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then he gave this woman all that she asked for. By so doing, he was teaching his disciples who the lost sheep of Israel really were. Not the Hebrews of the land of Israel, but the children of the covenant of grace. This was the fulfillment of those promises that had been given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that we've been reading about with some of the young people in their section for weeks now, which are so frequently repeated time after time after time in the Old Testament. These were the blessings that would come, that were anticipated and expected by the people of God all through the Old Testament era. That the elect of God in all the world would be brought to a knowledge of the truth. And these were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not some narrow nationalistic view, but those who were the children of Israel, the heirs of the promise. And only then does the Lord turn to this woman. And he tells her, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs." Jesus' words have seemed harsh and unfeeling to some people. And it's hardly the gentle, sensitive response that one might expect from our Saviour. Remember what we talked about earlier when we spoke about the tender mercies of God? Is he really calling this lady a dog? Let me just say something about that, if I may. When the Lord Jesus Christ looked at this lady, he loved her. He loved her with a love that is beyond our comprehension. He loved her with infinite love. He loved her unconditionally. He loved her everlastingly. He loved her with such genuine goodness as he would soon supply her with everything that her heart desired and much more. There was no insult or disrespect in the Lord's words. And yet, for her own sake, and for the disciples' education, and even for our education today, there must needs be a delay in blessing her. There needed to be a pause. It was desirable that this pause entered into the conversation. So that, like Jairus, when the Lord paused to help that woman who reached out and touched his garment in the midst of the throng, and they came and they said to Jairus, "Don't bother the master any longer, your daughter has died." There had to be that pause. Or Martha, when Lazarus, her brother, succumbed to death before the Lord arrived, while he was still ill. There had to be that delay so that the events could run their course. Waiting upon the Lord was for her greater good. Waiting upon the Lord was for his greater glory. So the Lord would still have his people wait upon his good and perfect timing. That's our lesson today. He tried this woman's faith, and thereby he proved it to be genuine, to be precious, by the short delay that he imposed. And this lady's faith has gone down in the history of the church. It graces the pages of the everlasting Word of God as a shining example for all time, because the Lord showed how precious her faith was. So those are 3 points then. Faith was given to this lady. Faith was exercised by this lady. Faith had to be tried in this lady. But fourthly, faith was vindicated. True faith does not let go. True faith does not give up. When it meets obstruction, it endures. It might take a beating, it might take a battering, but faith perseveres. It overcomes in the end. It prospers under the duress into which it is placed. Hearing the words of the Lord, having met with the attitudes of those around about us, about her, this woman might have turned on her heels and walked away. But what benefit would her daughter have had if she had done that? So hearing the words of the Lord, she thought to herself, the Lord said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. That was what she heard. But she heard, it is not meet. And she said to herself, that's not a no. So that gave her hope. John Gill says, she wisely lays hold upon and improves in a very beautiful manner in her own favour what seemed to be so much against her. Isn't that beautiful? She wisely lays hold upon and improves in a very beautiful manner, in her own favour, what seems to be so much against her. And as I read the words of this lady, I think even the Lord rejoiced to hear her speak the words that she did. She said, "Yes, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." May we not learn from this also? When we meet with opposition, when we meet with barriers or disappointments or trials in our life, are not all these under the overarching purpose and providence of God? Might we not think that this delay in getting what we are seeking is part of God's wise dealing with us to prove and test our faith and show how precious it is? May we not interpret these things as this woman did, despite the evidence or apparent evidence to the contrary, as means to the end of Christ blessing us? Our portion in this life might often seem to be merely crumbs, but if they are crumbs from the Master's table, how blessed they will be to us. Paul does tell us that it is through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. That was true for this Syrophoenician woman. Why should it be any less true for you and for me? Here's just a final thought and then we're done. When the lady got home, she discovered that the devil was gone. The devil had gone. The devil had gone because he had served his purpose by driving this dear lady to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the devil was dismissed. Go, get out of here, you've done your job. The Lord granted her all that she asked. In fact, Matthew says, "Let it be as thou wouldst." So she got everything she asked for. Everything she asked for. Verse 30 says, "And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed." Do you see the loveliness in this? She returned home from the presence of the Saviour, believing that her daughter would be healed. And when she returned home, hanging as she was upon the Saviour's word, she found it to be so. May the Syrophoenician's experience be our example to trust the word of the Lord Jesus Christ also. Amen.